And we will continue our conversation here. You know, due to the regional conflicts, not very many foreigners have been to Kashmir in the last 10 years. We've already spoken to a couple of them. But the Kashmir Valley was at one time a major tourist destination in South Asia. And we want to talk next to someone who's been there, photographer Steve McCurry, who was in Kashmir in 1999 for National Geographic. He's a frequent visitor to the South Asian region, and he joins us now from his home in New York. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much. Nice to be there.
And I do want to mention for our listeners, if you have a question about Kashmir or you've been there, give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is TOTN@NPR.org. Now, Shumit Ganguly referred to the valley there, which I'm looking at a map of Kashmir. There is a gigantic valley in the middle, but when we think of this region from the outside, we're mostly thinking about huge high mountains, aren't we?
That's right. Not only are you at the footsteps of the Himalayas right there, and these hills and small mountains are mighty, you also have three rivers that flow through Kashmir. You have the Jhelum, the Chenab, and the Indus. This is a majorly kind of strategic area that where you have Afghanistan, Pakistan, China, India all sort of come together in that one place. But there's no... this is one of the most picturesque, beautiful spots, you know, on the planet. At one time, there were, you know, 500,000 tourists from all over the world that would come to Kashmir. They used to call, you know, the capital, Srinagar, the Venice of the East, because on this beautiful lake, you'd have, I don't know, scores of houseboats, and people from would come and spend their summers on these houseboats. The British had built them back in, last century. They weren't allowed to own property. So instead they built these very opulent homes on, you know, floating homes in the lake. And the tradition stayed on, and it was very popular before this tragedy happened.
I think after the break we might get an opportunity to talk to somebody who lived on one of those houseboats once upon a time. In a few seconds, though, can you just tell me briefly, is it very hard to get to Kashmir?
Oh, it's very simple. You can fly up from Delhi. You can take the bus. You can drive up there in probably 6 hours or so. But it's very easily, it's very accessible from especially from Delhi.
Okay, Steve McCurry, can you stay with us through the break and after the break here? Thanks very much. We'll be talking to you more. We're talking to Steve McCurry, who was in Kashmir in 1999 for National Geographic and is a frequent visitor to that region. We will have more on Kashmir when we come back, and we will also take a look at a different issue, how different states approach the tricky task of amending their constitutions. That's coming up later this hour. I'm Steve Inskeep, and this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Steve Inskeep in Washington, in for Neil Conan. We've been talking about Kashmir with photographer and frequent contributor to National Geographic magazine, Steve McCurry. If you've been to Kashmir, you can join the conversation by calling us at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is TOTN@NPR.org. We're going to go to a couple of calls, but very briefly, Steve McCurry, I'd like you to describe a couple of scenes. Describe what it is like to be in Kashmir. I'm looking at this issue of National Geographic magazine from 1999, and the first photograph, amazing photograph that I'm looking at here, it says a 16th century fortress looms over the dawn-burnished waters of Dal Lake in the Vale of Kashmir. Can you describe that scene to someone who can't see the photograph?
Being on Dal Lake, you really feel like you've been transported back to another time and another place. You're in a small canoe. You have a very skilled sort of a gondolier operator, and as you weave your way through these canals, you have these sort of towering mountains off in the distance, and these apple orchards and these flower vendors which pass you by. It's just one of these places that really transports you into another place. There's few places in the world that I've been traveling around for 25 years. There's so few places that you really feel like you're really in a foreign place, a place that's just magical, and the landscape there with these sort of towering peaks and a difference in this very still water is just really magical.
And then the next photograph that I want you to describe takes us into those towering peaks. It says, "Artillery thunder shakes this range as Pakistani soldiers trade fire with Indian opponents." You see Pakistani soldiers in the snow in winter gear firing a piece of artillery. What's it like to be up there on the front lines?
This is the highest battlefield in the world. They took me up. It was 14,000 feet and varied up to 16,000 feet. Extremely cold. We had to stay in igloos. They flew me up and they said we can only let you stay for 1 hour because the altitude is so dangerous. And they left me up there for 2 days. They had a helicopter problem and the 1 hour turned in.
Wow.
I was very nervous that there was going to be some... I was going to get altitude sickness, but it's totally insane to be fighting, exchanging artillery at that altitude and this basically wasteland, a place that no human inhabitation exists, and yet they're so driven over every square inch of territory that they've even staked out this remote, inaccessible area to have these artillery duels.
Well, Steve McCurry, stay with us while I bring in Damien, who has called us from Oceanside, California. And Damien, I understand you've traveled to Kashmir.
Yeah, hi, Steve. I was there in 1977 and stayed on a houseboat in Srinagar. And I've got to say, I'm almost surprised to hear how long this has been going on, because when I was there, there was not even a hint of any kind of restlessness or anything with the population. They were beautiful, friendly people. We lived on a houseboat. The traders would come by in canoes and sell you your dinner if you didn't want to go out to a restaurant. The water taxis also would stop by to see if you wanted to come into shore.
And was this one of the houseboats that Steve McCurry was describing that the British constructed?
Yes,
because
it was.
Because they weren't allowed to own land.
That's right.
I guess so. I didn't know. I'm learning more about where I was from this show than I learned from when I was there. But it was like paradise. And I have one political question. I'm wondering if the reason that I didn't know anything about that when I was there was because the Cold War kept it in check or kept it from being... really a hot war, and then with the collapse of the Cold War, maybe that got it going? I don't know.
Steve McCurry, any insight there?
Yeah, you recall that, back when there was East Pakistan, and, of course, Bangladesh was created in part with the help of India, the East Pakistanis became very disgruntled and disillusioned with the idea of being part of West Pakistan. And I think there was resentment and possibly maybe some revenge. Pakistan's wanted to exact some revenge, and I think that some of these militant groups, as they cropped up in Pakistan during the Afghan war, maybe once the Afghanistan situation was resolved, or in the meantime, they turned their eyes towards Kashmir, and because it's just literally a few hours away. You can drive from Kabul to Srinagar, probably. You could leave Kabul in the morning and be in Srinagar that night. They're very close together.
That's a trip that probably not too many people are likely to take
yeah.
right now, anyway. Damien, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it. Damien raises another issue that I'm interested in, Steve McCurry. He described the people as very peaceful. Everybody got along with each other in the 70s. Have years and years of insurgencies changed that? Did you notice a different kind of people when you were there?
Well, the Kashmiris, in fact, people from that area don't really have any quarrel with foreigners or Americans. They're thrilled to have you come and stay on their houseboat. They love to sell you their carpets and lacquerware and whatnot. It's really more the fact that there's 400,000 Indian troops stationed there, and I think that the tension from that, and then the infiltration from Pakistan, which of course the Pakistanis have always denied, but it's of course the reality. I think that whole kind of mixed it all together, and you had people that are very tense and very much on edge. As I think somebody mentioned earlier, this was one of the great places to go trekking. You could, like Nepal or other places, that you could go and get a horse and get a guide, and you can go off in these just amazing hill areas. And of course, once those tourists half a dozen years ago or so were kidnapped and probably killed, that's really struck fear into most tourists, heart.
And we have an email here from Chris Snell, who asks, is it safe for a normal American tourist to travel to Kashmir when you're talking about kidnappings and that sort of thing? You're kind of answering the question there, aren't you?
I think if you go to Srinagar, by the way, the capital of Kashmir or Jammu or Ladakh, these are all extremely safe. They have very good skiing in Kashmir, just an hour and a half or so from the capital, Srinagar. They have a beautiful ski slope with a state-of-the-art gondola, which will take you up to the top of the mountain. And you can, rent skis. And that's kind of a little-known fact of Kashmir, that you can actually do some quite good skiing and snowboarding there.
You've been skiing in Kashmir?
Yes. Like I said, they have this great ski lift there, which I think was built by the French. And Indians go. You'll find on the weekend it'd be packed with Indians. But I guess because people don't either know about the skiing or they're afraid of going to Kashmir, you get very few foreigners. But there's good hotels, good transportation in and out, and it's fabulous.
Ms. McCurry, we've just got a few seconds left, but I'm just wondering, as a total outsider, as someone who went there and looked around, did you look around in that situation and think to yourself, well, gosh, this ought to be easy to solve, or did it seem like an intractable problem to you?
I think it's very easy to solve. I think that if these militant groups, if somebody can drum it into their head that, let the Kashmiris sort out their own problems. I think when you get outsiders kind of meddling in their affairs, I think the Kashmiris can sort out their own situation. I think it's a very simple matter. I think it has to do with respect and giving people their dignity. I think if the Indian government can, treat them as an equal with respect and these militants are kept from murdering innocent people and infiltrating, I think it's very easily solved.
Okay.
Very optimistic.
Well, Steve McCurry of National Geographic, thanks very much for your time and your insights. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.